Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Bet Super 6 and Clint Boyer are giving away more free cash this weekend. Download the free Fox Bet Super 6 app and enter Clint's Stage 2 contest for your chance to win a $10,000 guaranteed prize. All you need to do is answer 6 questions about Stage 2 of Sunday's Cup Series race for your chance to win.
Eric Mangini and I just got the notes. I get little notes before the interview. I think we disagree on everything today, which is exactly the way I like it. I can teach him a thing or two about football, which is really what I'm his mentor. He's joining us live now. I'm sure he loves that. I'm sure he's giggling over that. So let's start with this. So I'm a believer, if you show me success 3 or 4 or 5 times doing something, doesn't matter if you're a tax attorney, it doesn't matter if you're a landscaper, I think you're smart. So Frank Reich got the most efficient year ever out of Andrew Luck, the most efficient year ever out of Carson Wentz, and Philip Rivers had, on his last leg, had one of his top three most efficient seasons. And I look at Wentz and Reich and I think, I know he's broken, but I got a track record of Frank Reich working everywhere he goes. I think he figures out Wentz somehow, and I think there are coaches, you know them, there are these coaches that are just better. They just solve stuff. So I think Wentz and Indy's going to work. You are more of a skeptic.
I look at this situation, and I think how broken Philadelphia must think he is. They're going to take the largest salary cap hit in the history of the NFL. They trade him away for what's very small compensation. It, for a guy who was your starting quarterback and who you paid that much money. You paid so much money and so many draft picks to acquire him in the first place. You fire your head coach. That's usually the fix for a young quarterback. You fire the head coach. You see if the new guy can come in and change things. You hire the offensive coordinator, Frank Reich's offensive coordinator. So I think he's staying, you know, because of that reason. And then you're still willing to trade him. So they just must feel like he can't be successful there. Okay, now that being said, maybe a change of scenery will work, but this is a guy who's had an injury history, who gets sacked at a very high rate, who's had problems in the locker room, and who's coming off a really difficult year. There's a lot of things that he's going to have to do differently and do right to have a different outcome in Indy.
So I want to throw this. You used to coach the Jets. I want to throw this at you. So in the AFC East right now, you have Belichick, who's probably the best defensive coach in the history of the league. Sean McDermott, excellent defensive coach. Brian Flores appears to be doing a really nice job. And the Jets are going to get rid of Darnold and go with a rookie quarterback. I say to myself, I would rather just keep Darnold, trade that pick, and give Sam more weapons, because I think Sam's got a market. Chris Ballard was interested. I just look at the division and I think to myself, you're going to go with a rookie quarterback with those three defensive coaches? You're trying to climb a mountain. That's my perception. Or are you in the camp of, listen, you got to start over. It's not working with Darnold.
Well, I don't know if we agree or disagree on this point, because I heard you talking about Sam Darnold being traded and whether it's Chicago or Washington. And my thought process is if you really feel like this young quarterback can actually improve and you have the asset in place at the most important position, it makes no sense for the Jets to trade him. And like I said, with the Philly situation, usually you change head coaches and you think that's going to help the quarterback that's there, and that it's not a quarterback issue, it's a coaching issue. So yeah, you're absolutely right. If you can keep him and you believe that he has the potential to improve on what he's done, you've got incredible draft capital. You've got incredible money for free agency. You can trade that pick and get even more draft capital. I think if you can possibly maintain him and feel like you can win, it's the best decision they can make.
All right, here's the disagreement part. So
We have a lot of those, Colin. We have a lot of those.
Okay. So I said before is that there's, you know, you always go on the internet or you read these in magazines. Like they say, the three or four signs somebody's having an affair. And it's always when they change their habits. Like people, we're all kind of creatures of habit. People start, they won't let you look at their phone. They're coming home later. They work out a lot. And it's like, oh, they're changing habits. So I'm supposed to believe the most detailed, precise, planned organization in the NFL for 20 years, New England. They don't have a quarterback. They have the worst skilled people in the league. Their secondary is deteriorating. They don't have an elite pass rusher. Half of the defensive coaches are either Bill Belichick or his kids. I look at this organization, I'm like, okay, you have all the answers here. If I'm Robert Kraft this morning, they just lost their GM, so Bill has more personnel power, and I don't love him as a drafter. At some point, if I'm Robert Kraft, I'm like, I know you were successful, and I love you, Bill. You tell me what the plan is, because I don't understand. Apparently, they weren't interested in Wentz. Stafford said no thanks. At some point, the market's drying up, isn't it, for a quarterback?
Well, what you said is habits and changing habits, and I don't think you can look at a lack of activity as a lack of a plan. And what's New England always done? They've never been first week free agency, pay big money guys. That's not what they've done. They've never rushed to be the first in any place. If anything, Bill's strength, his greatest strength, is in that free agency world, is in that acquiring pro talent world. And so much is going to change. We've seen, who would have thought Carson Wentz would be traded or Jared Goff would be traded? You see the things that have changed already in this small window of time. Over the course of the draft, they could potentially get a quarterback there. You could see maybe Garoppolo moves. A lot of guys could still move. They're going to assess what comes available as opposed to rushing to make a decision just to make a decision. It's not how they're wired. And unless they believe it's a significant upgrade, why would they ever go get a guy just to get a guy?
So you think Garoppolo has not only been hurt three of the last 4 years, but he's been hurt in week two, week three, and week two, which tells you it's one thing if Mahomes gets banged up after 15 weeks of play. If you're hurt by week two, three of the last 4 years, you're brittle. There's no other way to get around it. One time he got hurt without getting hit. So Garoppolo doesn't feel like a legitimate. I mean, Bill's not going to sign Garoppolo to a long contract.
No, look, I was just using Garoppolo as an example because of their relationship. And you remember when Garoppolo was there making that decision, you were in the New England should keep Garoppolo camp back in the day.
Yeah.
And that's actually worked, you know, worked out when they kept Tom. I didn't think Cam Newton would work. And they got Cam in what, June for basically nothing. And there's a fumble against Buffalo, and there's a goal line play against Seattle. Otherwise, that's a 9-7 decision. And you know, this is a team coming off eight players opting out. They've now got salary cap room. They have assessed, you know, you're a year removed from the Tom Brady legacy. I think that things will look dramatically different, you know, at the start of the season this year versus where they were last year.
All right, here's another disagreement bomb. I think, Ben, first of all, Pittsburgh sold their soul a little with Ben. They've known for years he doesn't commit in the offseason. They know he's not great with film study. They know he's not always a great teammate with offensive stars. They know he can be dramatic when you draft a quarterback fourth round. They know, I've been told by people who I trust, that their audible system is incredibly remedial. And they've known this for years. And now they're trapped because they placated Ben time and time again, which is fine when he's in his athletic prime because he was such a unique and special player. Down the stretch, Eric, he was old and his lack of physical commitment was pretty obvious. He had 8 picks in the 4 games. He was terrible. I'm done. Like, I think they're trapped. You still like him.
Well, we're talking about young quarterbacks that haven't done anything. And then being traded to teams. And if they get traded to those teams are suddenly going to go to the playoffs. The Steelers won the division last year. They were 12-4. He threw 33 touchdowns. They were dead last in running the football. In the final game of the season, you can kill Ben, but they asked him to throw the ball 68 times. when you think of Steelers football, you think of really good defense, a really physical and effective running game, and then Ben Roethlisberger. Why don't they commit to fixing the running game and see what Ben can do at that point? And the guy's, what's he, at 16, 18 seasons, whatever it is, he's had two losing seasons. Two. So we're talking about guys that have barely had any winning seasons going somewhere else. As opposed to keeping Ben, you could extend his contract out a year so to get the salary cap number down without giving him any new money, and you still have a chance to win. I think they're putting the blame in the wrong spot here.
All right, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on that. I think he's an old man, and he looks. I am so over that.
Look, a lot of people thought Tom Brady was an old man when he had a poor game, you know, at the end of his last, you know, run in New England.
By the way, what did you make of that? Isn't that just amazing? How I swear to God, coach in week eight, I had Bruce Arians on yesterday, and I said at week eight there was so much turbulence. I'm like, this is a mess. And I asked him, I said, when did you guys kind of say to yourself privately, okay, this is working? And he said the bye week, like week 12, like it took a lot. I am shocked by how good they were. You know what I'm shocked, Eric? How good the offensive line was in the last month. That was always been a middling offensive line. I thought they were a dominant unit at the end. What surprised you?
My greatest takeaway from that is they started to run the ball more. And they started to do things more in line with what Tom's always done over the last 20 years. They worked the tight ends more. They worked the inside part of the offense more. It looked like they were running things that I've always seen Tom run. And you heard the message from Bruce. They gave him more control. They gave him more leeway. And what do? You take advantage of the greatest asset you have is Tom's mind. And when he understands exactly what's taking place, and the other guys understand it as well, I mean, he's going to go to the right place with the ball. That to me was the biggest difference is allowing him to just almost take over the offense. And then suddenly things transformed. It is amazing, though. It is and great. I love the story.
You know where I watched that game, Coach?
Where?
In a hospital bed.
That's not good.
I'm just on like a picture of American courage. Coach, you're looking at it right
you
here.
You are. Your bravery is inspiring. It's like Tom Brady, Colin Coward. Those I'm going to point those out to my boys for bravery and heroics.
Enough of you. All right, man, Genie. Enjoy Cleveland. It's snowing again today. Good talking to you.
Great to see you, Colin.
All right, good stuff. All right, Alex with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, the NBA All-Star Game starters were revealed yesterday. You have LeBron James, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, and Kawhi Leonard will represent the West.
All
and
right.
In the East.
All right, let me look at this.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead with the East.
In the East, you have Kevin Durant, Giannis, Bradley Beal, Joel Embiid, and Kyrie Irving selected.
Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, LeBron and KD led the voting, so they are the two captains, and they will draft their teams from the pools of starters in the reserves on March 4th. So what do you think of the starting lineup? You agree with it?
Damian Lillard, I'd probably start over Luka, although Luka's great too. I think Kyrie Irving, I love seeing Bradley Beal in there. I don't have a real problem with the East. I they're probably not counting Harden because he played in the West to start the year. He hadn't played enough games. So I guess you end up with Kyrie, but Kyrie's missed a bunch of starts. I think I'd probably go Steph and Dame. But listen, Luka's great and he's popular and I get it. So the West has more good players. I mean, let's be honest. When Dame Lillard can't start for your All-Star team,
that's tough.
That's, you know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah.
Are you a fan of the All-Star game?
Yeah, I'll watch it. I'm not really into the you know, the shooting contest dunk stuff doesn't do much for me. I mean,
really?
I not really. Like I'm not really into the game. I always watch parts of it. You know, I keep it on.
Yeah.
I think the only All-Star game I really like is the baseball All-Star game. For some reason, to be able to see a dominant National League pitcher against a red-hot American League hitter like a Mike Trout. I mean, you could have Walker Buehler this year, or you could have Trevor Bauer against Mike Trout. And you're just not going to see that very much.
No.
So I always love the first couple of innings of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game when you get the hottest pitchers.
The best of the best.
And the greatest hitters. And you may never see them in their careers facing one another. So that's the part of the first three innings of the All-Star Game in baseball, I think, are great.
And it used to mean something.
The winner
of the MLB All-Star Game used to have home field advantage. All right, moving on. The Steelers have not committed to Ben Roethlisberger next season, even though he has made it clear he wants to return. The team did add some depth at the quarterback position by signing Dwayne Haskins. And GM Kevin Colbert is looking forward to seeing what he will do in Pittsburgh. He said, "We are excited to see what Dwayne can do with us. It didn't work out for him in Washington. We had high grades on Dwayne coming out of Ohio State. He's young, he's a talented quarterback, and we're anxious to see what he can do once he gets here and gets working with us." And this is so telling on their feelings about Big Ben. This has got to be a gut punch, because they just said the other day, "We're not committing to Ben." And now they're saying they're excited about another quarterback on their roster.
Well, I like Dwayne Haskins out of college, too. He's big and strong and throws an accurate football. His thing's maturity. So for him, this is a really good move, because the Steelers historically are grown-ups. There's not a lot of dysfunction. There is some drama. But when you're young and immature, that's why Kevin Stefanski was so important for Baker Mayfield. Stefanski brought him down. Baker had, I thought, his most mature year. He felt like more of a franchise quarterback. So for Haskins, he needs to grow up, and this is an organization that holds you accountable growing up, hopefully.
It does. Moving on to another young quarterback, Justin Herbert had an incredible first season in the NFL, earning the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. And with his entire career ahead of him, he's looking to build off his hot start by turning to none other than the GOAT for inspiration.
I think anyone should just aspire to be like Tom Brady, to have as much success as he's had for as long as he's been able to do it. I don't think there's anyone that's ever done anything like that before. And to win, that's the ultimate goal of the quarterback position, is to put your team in a position to win. And he's been able to do that. He's a competitor, and he finds a way to win. And I think that's the best part about it.
Love that.
He just does it right. Yeah. Herbert does it right.
Yeah, he is really the Chargers, you know how good it is to feel? You know, we have nine teams looking for quarterbacks. How great does it feel to be Kansas City or the Chargers, where you're like, oh, we're good here for 10 years?
Yeah.
You start looking around the league, you've either got like Josh Allen for Buffalo. They're good for a decade.
Yep.
It's amazing, Alex, how few teams can say that. Like, three words, we're good here. Like, it's either the old quarterback or he's coming up on a contract. I mean, as good as Aaron Rodgers is, he's now 37. They've drafted his replacement. There's only about five teams in the league that can say this morning, we're good here for a decade, and the Chargers are one of them.
It's great. He said he was reaching out to Drew Brees when he got their former coach. He sent you a get well soon signed football. This kid
is professional.
Does it right.
He knows who to follow.
He does.
I'll tell you that. Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Buy, sell, or hold on a Football Friday next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, good to have you in on a Friday. Jason McIntyre is out skiing with his fam this week, so he's off today. So we're going to play a game of buy, sell, or hold. I'm your stockbroker. I'm your money manager. Alex asked me a question. I say, buy it, sell it, or hold. I'm not sure. Here we go.
Time to
buy, sell, or hold.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Colin will decide if he'll
buy it,
sell,
I want you to sell,
or hold.
Hold.
All right, we're starting Big Ben. Will he be the starting quarterback for the Steelers in 2021?
Buy.
Buy.
He's a huge cap hit. They don't have anybody else. Dwayne Haskins is not the answer. They went 12-4. He's still wildly popular with fans. I think it's time to move off him. I think you've sold your soul for the last several years for him, but he'll be the starting quarterback.
Sam Darnold will start the season with the Jets.
Sell. I think it's the smart thing to do. I think you can get, first of all, you got two first rounders with the Jamal Adams trade. You could get two or three first rounders for a Zach Wilson trade. Number two, you could literally solve all your dilemmas by the second round. But in the end, GMs and coaches like their own guys. He's 11-22 in his first 3 years with the team. I think they're going to move off him and have a rookie quarterback go up against Belichick, Brian Flores, and Sean McDermott for the next couple years and go 0-6 in division for the next couple years.
Odell Beckham Jr. will be traded this offseason.
Bye. Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got the second largest contract on the Browns, and he's not the second best player. And let's just be totally frank here. Baker Mayfield was better when he got hurt. That's not an indictment on him. It's a reality. When Baker plays with Odell, he feels a need to force it to his star receiver, and Baker plays much better, like Dak Prescott always has, sprinkling the ball around the infield, having multiple targets with a strong running game.
All right, J.J. Watt will be a Packer next season.
Hold. Biggest concern is J.J. Watt's putting it out there. Mm-hmm. He's trying to create a bidding war. He's one of the few, if not the only, defensive players in the NFL with a brand. Doesn't sound he wants a pay cut. And the Packers historically don't go into bidding wars. In fact, right now, the Packers are not the favorite on the betting market to land him.
Deshaun Watson will play for the 49ers in 2021.
That's a sell to me. I don't think it's a perfect fit.
Sell.
Kyle Shanahan's system is very run-centric. He's also said, Deshaun has said his top preference is the Jets because they hired Robert Saleh. So I still think the Niners run it back one more year with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think if they could engineer a move for Darnold, they wouldn't have to give up much. I don't see Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch wanting to start over four picks, give up multiple players. It just doesn't feel right to me.
So with that being said, Jimmy Garoppolo will return to the Patriots.
Hold,
please.
This is the only one that works. They don't have a plan at quarterback. Garoppolo knows the system. My concern is he's 24-8 starting in the NFL, and outside of maybe Darnold, I do not believe Kyle Shanahan is going to go to a rookie quarterback. Again, the Niners see themselves as a Super Bowl team. Are they frustrated with Garoppolo's health? Absolutely. There's no doubt they're very frustrated. We've seen three different stories that obviously are out there, probably for Garoppolo's agent to see. They're not happy with him. But just because you're frustrated with Kirk Cousins doesn't mean you're going to move him. Just because you're frustrated with Garoppolo. Niners have a Super Bowl roster. They get Deebo Samuel back, George Kittle back, Bosa back. So I don't see him going anywhere.
The Browns will sign Baker Mayfield to an extension this offseason.
Hold,
please.
He just had his first winning season. The Browns had their first winning season since 2007. I still think they want to see more. And my question with Baker is, okay, he had his best year. It was a little fool's gold. They were outscored as a team. And eight of their wins were against bad teams. And Baker has a little bit of a ego. Does he come off his first playoff win with eight new commercials? Remember a couple years ago, he came out, a lot of commercials, put on weight, wasn't in the best shape. I want to see how he reacts after success before I sign him up.
I love his commercials. Dak Prescott signs an extension with the Cowboys.
Bye. Listen, they won just 4 of 11 games without him. They've won the NFC East 2 of the 4 years. He's been the guy. It's a numbers game at this point. Franchise tagging him is $37, $38 million. Can you get him for $30, $32 million, stretch the contract out for 5 years? They'll sign him.
Derek Carr will be back with the Raiders in 2021.
That's a buy.
Buy.
He's the only thing saving the Raiders. Third straight year with 4,000 passing yards. The Colts, very well-run team, were interested in Derek Carr. He just had a career-high 101.4 passer rating. I think Gruden is realizing there's questions with the draft picks, the defense. There's questions about the Raiders after Thanksgiving. They've really disintegrated post-Thanksgiving last 2 years. I think they're 8-8 because of Derek Carr. I think he's what gets them to 8-9. I think with lesser quarterbacks, it's a 5-11 team.
And finally, Cam Newton will play for the Washington football team.
That seems like an obvious sell.
Sell.
I mean, they took his backup. Ron Rivera, I don't think, was ever a fan. You know, it's funny with Cam. There's some value there. I'm not so sure New England's going to move off him. They haven't shown. I mean, Stafford didn't want to play there. They weren't interested in Wentz. Garoppolo, you're going to sign a long-term deal with his history of injuries. I don't think Belichick loves Sam Darnold because he's dominated him. I still think Cam's a lean to New England. I really do. And I don't think Washington. I think Washington works with Sam Darnold completely. That doesn't even feel right to me. So there we go. Buy, sell, and hold. Want to thank Sam Amick with some NBA talk today. Dalvin Cook, great running back for the Vikings. Andrew Whitworth, Pro Bowl left tackle for the Rams. And Eric Mangini and I disagreed on virtually everything. Justin Turner of the Dodgers stops by Monday. I can't wait for the baseball season. Again, I'm being biased. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers could be the most talented baseball team we have seen in the sport in over a decade.
Oh, yeah.
They are stacked.
Pitching staff.
Trevor Bauer now, Walker Buehler, Clayton yep. Kershaw, David Price. All right, Alex, thank you so much. You've
thanks
been great.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. We'll see you Monday in the herd.